Catherine could see that the powder got everywhere. There was dust all over the studio. Even as she watched, little puffs of it seemed to hover in the air before settling on the shoulders or hair of a dial painter at work. To her astonishment, it made the girls themselves gleam. Catherine, like many before her, was entranced by it. It wasn't just the glow, it was Radium's all-powerful reputation. Almost from the start, the new element had been championed as the greatest find of history. When scientists had discovered, at the turn of the century, that radium could destroy human tissue, it was quickly put to use to battle cancerous tumours with remarkable results. Consequently, as a life-saving and thus, it was assumed, health-giving element, other uses had sprung up around it. All of Catherine's life, radium had been a magnificent cure-all, treating not just cancer, but hay fever, gout, constipation, anything you could think of. Pharmacists sold radioactive dressings and pills. There were also radium clinics and spas for those who could afford them. People hailed its coming as predicted in the Bible. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and gamble as calves of the stall. For another claim of radium was that it could restore vitality to the elderly, making old men young. One aficionado wrote, "Sometimes I am halfway persuaded that I can feel the sparkles inside my anatomy." Radium shone like a good deed in a naughty world. Its appeal was quickly exploited by entrepreneurs. Catherine had seen adverts for one of the most successful products, a radium-lined jar to which water could be added to make it radioactive. Wealthy customers drank it as a tonic. The recommended dose was 5 to 7 glasses a day. But as some of the models retailed for $200, it was a product far out of Catherine's reach. Radium water was drunk by the rich and famous, not working-class girls from Newark. What she did feel part of, though, was radium's all-pervasive entry into American life. It was a craze, no other word for it. The element was dubbed liquid sunshine, and it lit up not just the hospitals and drawing rooms of America, but its theatres, music halls, grocery stores and bookshelves. It was breathlessly featured in cartoons and novels, and Catherine, who loved to sing and play piano, was probably familiar with the song Radium Dance, which had become a huge hit after featuring in the Broadway musical Piff, Paff, Poof. On sale were radium jockstraps and lingerie, radium butter, radium milk, radium toothpaste, guaranteeing a brighter smile with every brushing, and even a range of radio cosmetics, which offered radium-laced face creams, rouge and compact powders. Other products were more prosaic. The Radium Eclipse Sprayer, championed one advert, quickly kills all flies, mosquitoes, roaches. It has no equal as a cleaner of furniture, porcelain, tile. It is harmless to humans and easy to use. Not all of these products actually contained radium. It was far too costly and rare for that. But manufacturers from all kinds of industries declared it part of their range, for everyone wanted a slice of the radium pie. And now, to Catherine's excitement, thanks to her job, she would have a prime seat at the table. Her eyes drank in the dazzling scene before her. But then, to her disappointment, Miss Rooney ushered her into a room that was separate to the main studio, away from the radium and the shining girls. Catherine would not be dial painting that day, nor the day after, as much as she longed to join the glamorous artists in the other room. Instead, she would be serving an apprenticeship as an inspector, checking the work of those luminous girls who were busy painting dials.